Kim Weaver is the Director of External Affairs, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. And Kim, you're just off a monthly board meeting yesterday, but it was not the typical monthly board meeting, I understand. Tell me why that is.
Okay. We have monthly board meetings that are presidentially appointed board members, and we meet with them by law every month. And then there's also a thing called the Employee Thrift Advisory Council that's made up of 15 members that are federal unions, postal unions, federally employed women, NARF, FMA, SEA, and we have a representative from DOD now that the uniformed services are in. And we meet with them twice a year generally, and they're sort of our window into the participant world, so that if their members are hearing or seeing things with the TSP that they're having issues with, the ETAC can relay them back to us. And they've been a great source for us over the years of benefits and improving the TSP. So yesterday was our annual joint meeting with the board and ETAC. And at that meeting, several of the unions had asked, the federal employee unions who are affected by furloughs had asked us to look at adding a second general purpose loan to help employees affected by furloughs.
Now, it seems to me that that's not just a matter of just saying, okay, you can do one instead of two based on the infrastructure issues that you and I have talked about related to other things. It seems that it's a lot more complex than that.
It is. It is significantly more complex. We looked at it, and it would take about 2,000 person hours to do the programming and the testing, because we have a number of system edits in the computer that will reject. Like if a second loan form came in, it would automatically reject it. And then there's tax systems and things, other things that we have to program. So it's not as easy as just saying, okay, sure, we'll change our regs and allow a second loan to be taken out. The computer systems that support all of the letters to participants and the confirmation notices and all that sort of stuff would have to be redone to allow for two loans. So I know it sounds like a relatively simple thing, but it is not.
And in theory, when you go back to the way that the original 401ks were set up and the way that the Thrift Savings Plan is also set up, Congress intended the money that you put into a retirement account like this to stay there. They made it difficult on purpose. And I imagine when they set up the Thrift Savings Plan, they did the same thing. They want it to be as difficult as possible. They want it to be an absolute last resort, because taking money out of a retirement account, whether it's a TSP account or something else, can wind up costing you a lot of money in a number of different ways.
It can. And the loans out of 401ks and the TSP are sort of a balancing act, because Congress and many policy thinkers in this area recognize that if you're putting money away for retirement, but you can never get to it no matter what awful situation may occur, and they certainly do occur, unfortunately, that people would be less likely to contribute to their retirement. On the other hand, if they made it too easy for people to just pull money out of their retirement, the tax benefits that you get from contributing to the pre-tax part of the TSP or a 401k would be wasted. And so it is a balancing act that Congress and the Internal Revenue Code has put together in terms of encouraging people to save for retirement and, to the best of our ability, keep that money in for your retirement purposes.
Kim Weaver is the Director of External Affairs, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. If I do want to change my contribution, as Greg recommended, and then change it back after furloughs are over, what do I do? Who do I have to talk to? Do I call you, the help center, whatever, or what?
No,
do I do?
You'd go to your payroll office. The payroll agency for whatever department or agency you're working for is the one who handles the changes in your contribution amounts. And so you would go, and most agencies now have it automated, but some still use forms. Whatever they would want you to do, you would put in the form now saying, I want to reduce my contribution to X, and then later in the fall or when you feel you can do it, you would go back and say, okay, I want to increase my contribution back to whatever amount you choose.
All right. Speaking of contributions, Kim, how are the contributions looking to the various funds? Any trends since the last time we talked about them?
Well, money has been flowing out of the G fund into equity since the stock market has been doing so well over the past few months. And we're now up to a whopping $346 billion dollars in the thrift fund. We're pleased that the Roth accounts are all the way up to almost 170,000 accounts, which, considering we were at zero last May, we're pleased with that uptick. It'll be interesting to see. April has been a slightly weaker month for the stocks. The C fund is down just shy of 1%. The S fund is down just shy of 3%. And whether that trend reverses and money moves out of equities and back to the G fund this month, we will have to see how that all plays out.
The overall, though, for the year, I imagine we're still looking pretty decent.
The C fund year to date is 10.6%, and the S fund is 13.09%. The I fund is at 4% because of the issues they've been having over there in the Eurozone.
Yes.
The F fund is a year to date 0.01%, and the G fund is 0.38%.
All right. Anything else that we should know about from the meeting yesterday, Kim?
Well, the only thing I would say is another issue that came up in the meeting, and it's an issue that we asked for feedback from ETAC and we'll be discussing with them later this year, is right now if someone, a new employee joins the federal government, they are auto-enrolled into the TSP if they don't make an affirmative choice. Of course, anyone, you can choose to enroll at 1%, you can choose to enroll at 10%, whatever your choice is. But if you make no choice, you're auto-enrolled at 3% of your salary, and that money goes into the G fund. And we are recommending that that default fund be changed to an age-appropriate L fund, so that the person, because what we're seeing is people, a number of people come in, about 33% of the people who are auto-enrolled get placed into the G fund at 3% and then don't move. And if you're in your 20s and you're sitting in the G fund for your career, you're probably not getting the exposure to stocks that's going to help you retire in the way you want to. And so our proposal would be to change the G fund to the age-appropriate L fund. And that is something that we've asked the ETAC members to go back, talk to their members about, and then in the fall we're going to have a further discussion about that. And if we decide to go forward, we would need a legislative change.
Who would decide what's age-appropriate for different people? I imagine there'll be some judgment calls there.
What we would do is we'd look at their birth date. We would have their birth date, and we would look at when they would turn age 62, and that's the year that we would say that you would be beginning to take out your money, and we would then put you in whatever the closest L fund would be. And obviously, the whole thing about the default is it is a default. If you want to make an affirmative choice, if we put you in the L2030, for example, based on your birth date, and you believed you should be in the L2050, that is absolutely your choice, and you could change it, or you could change it back to the G fund. We're just trying to get to the people who aren't making any choices at all and sort of are letting inertia take over.